It's time for the Outdoor Show with Craig Campo on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Also streaming live at KFARradio.com. Sponsored by the Campo family, helping Alaskans having fun in the outdoors since the 1940s. And now your host, Craig Campo.
Hey, Fairbanks, welcome to the Campo Outdoor Show. It is summertime, officially, in Fairbanks, Alaska. It's my second favorite time of year. I like getting on the water for the first time. I've been up the river already, going again. In fact, I'm on the river again, getting up the river, checking out what Mother Nature has done to our opportunity to get up and get moose and bear way up the river. So we're looking at that. Always a challenge. I can't wait to test my new oversized wheel kit I built for my boat. It's really pretty cool. There's a log jam way up where you literally have not been able to get around it for the last year or so. It's when the water's down. When the water drops, a little access slough, or not slough, the old main channel, you could just skim around if you had a boat with plastic bottom and or UHMW bottom, or you had a boat just shallow enough to skim through it with a tunnel hull. Anyway, when the water drops, which is usually in September during hunting season, if we don't get much rain at all, then the water's dropping. It's just impossible, almost impossible to get out. We had some people spend 3 full days dragging a boat, taking moose in and out of the boat, taking fuel in and out of the boat to drag it down back into where they could get into the water, because the channel change Mother Nature created causes about a half a mile change in actual river. It's going to shortcut it once this logjam breaks through. But really interesting to watch the dynamics of a river and of how, you know, we had a methodical melt this year, which was not good for when you get these sort of channel changing events, I call them, where the river is going to go its own way and either cut off, you know, 100 yards or quarter mile or a mile of river. What it really takes is ice, moving ice. Nothing else is going to do it. You can get real high water. Typically, that just adds more debris to that log jam area and slowly forces the water a different direction. But what really does it is river-driven ice, big chunks of ice in the spring coming down. That usually happens when you get a hot melt and the water comes up really fast. And then those cement-like building-sized chunks of ice just rip anything in its path. We haven't had that. We had that in the year 2000. I've got a collection over the years of videos that we made for commercial purposes, and some of them are, you know, kind of crazy stuff we did. I look back on it and go, hey, yeah, it was pretty crazy what we were doing there, water skiing behind a boat on paddles. On ice, off the ice, up on the good pasture. Anyway, we had a video called Hulls Gone Wild, and we did several versions of it. I think the last one was 6.0. I've just been cleaning up my old shop and digging. I've got tons of old videos. I'm going to digitize them. I'm going to put them on our, you can go to our website and see a lot of those. Now, it's not compos.com because we had to sell that, and it went over to the new owner, Delta Power Sports. But if you go to compos.net, you can watch a lot of these videos. There are actually some really good videos. There's our old funny commercials with the old guys. There's a lot of stuff. I got to go check it out again. I think you can watch my Doomsday Prepper video or episode from 2013, which is pretty funny. I'm putting some other we were on some other shows, hunting shows, reality shows. I want to put those on there just so they're all in one spot. It's kind of neat. Kind of like we're doing with our comedy stuff, our Laugh You Long Time. I've got boat tips that I did 8 or 10 of these humorous boat tips that were kind of fun. I remember doing one, just a little commercial. It's me in the boat doing boat tips, and I grabbing this empty jug of two-stroke oil, and I'm saying, as I'm cleaning my boat, and I'm saying, hey, remember not to throw away your empty oil jugs, because you can bring them in to our store for our discount auto refill bulk refill program. And as I continue to clean the boat, I find an empty bottle of Crown Royal, and I look at the camera and I say, not all jugs qualify for our bulk refill program. Not that we ever drank that in the boat. We were just hauling trash back from the cabin. Of course, yeah. Anyway, what is new? You know, there's a lot going on in the state right now with the gas line fiasco. I hope they get this thing done. It's such a ridiculous, you know, whenever there's a chance for industry to develop an area like Alaska, there's always pushback and I got to get more and this. And I understand the state needs to take, I've maintained for years, the state doesn't get enough royalty on the rare earth minerals they take and stuff like that. There should be a little bit more take. But when it comes to a project of the size of the gas line and what seems to be trying to leverage things like defined benefits to that or whatever it is, or individual areas and groups collecting their own tax on each part of this line. It just seems like we're continually chasing away good jobs and long-term growth, lower energy costs. We just get so full of ourselves. I don't know. That's just my opinion. I know that there's arguments on both sides. We got to take, you know, there is, we got to make some revenue off of it, but we've also got to have the project or we die. We die as a state. We can't continue to grow government and not resources. That's my opinion, but I'm not going to get onto that today. But funny, because I am friends with the governor, and it was about 6 or 8 months ago. I woke up from my dreams, and I'd been thinking about these data centers that they're talking about all over the country, and such a big problem, lack of real estate, lack of water, lack of natural gas. And I remember waking up at 3 in the morning and thinking, Prudhoe, what is wrong with the North Slope? I mean, we have all this natural gas, more than, you know, trillions and trillions of cubic feet of natural gas laying in there. We have all kinds of cold weather. There's water. You know, why can't we develop? And yet it's not like you need tremendous infrastructure. You know, you need a big pad. You need, you know, some housing and things like that. But and it's going to go somewhere. You know, there's other parts of the world, Saudi Arabia, wherever else, that has a lot of the same geography and temperatures. And anyway, so I actually texted the next day the governor, and he called me back. He's been up hunting at our camp a couple of times, so I do like Mike Dunleavy. Anyway, he said, hey, I asked him, my text, is anybody even talking about data centers on the North Slope? He says, he was quiet for me. He goes, who have you been talking to? I said, nobody. I said, it just came to me, like, those are the three things that nobody's got but us in quantity, you know? And he said, actually, there had been some discussions and going on. So I did a little research on this this company, Stack Energy, actually started by a gal. We went to school in Wasilla or Anchorage. They proposed this data center site using cold temperatures for cooling. That's the one nice thing with up there. You don't need the quantity of water you do in Texas and everywhere else, and you don't have to pull off the energy grid, separate energy grid. So the people proposing it say, and there's still a lot to be unproven. I mean, it's a far way off, but it says they could take advantage of all the land and the cold temperatures and the cooling for a huge supply of natural gas for power. It'd be about a half a billion dollar development, occupying about a square mile, with, you know, multiple buildings and so forth. Now, the location is about 25 miles south of the North Slope's major infrastructure, kind of near the Sag River, I think west of the Sag River, and about a mile off the highway, off the Dalton there. So it's a relatively low footprint. What's interesting to me, so they'd build a new pipeline that would carry the natural gas to fuel the power plant for the data center. And of course, they say it could use more than as much as twice the fuel of a urban in Alaska consumes for electrical generation and home heating, commercial heating. What they don't say is how much gas is up there. They make it sound like, oh my God, they're going to suck away all the potential for, no. We've got enough for hundreds of years up there for many, many areas. I think they're talking about up to 3 gigawatts of power for its own use. No plans to, you know, sell off excess power or anything. Primarily just would be used for these large, large-scale AI and cloud computing operations. But it's all, you know, what I like about this idea, whether it's ever going to happen or not, it is complementary to the other industry. It's not the energy industry. It's a whole new industry for up there, which would benefit, you know, they're talking, I think, up to 1,500 people initially and 60 full-time employees, but a lot of work to build it. You know, they get the pipeline, got some road work, you got gravel, lots of gravel pad. It's like twice what Conoco had for one of their pads up north. Anyway, it's kind of interesting. There's a public comment period through June 15th, so you can look into it a little more. Stack Energy. You can Google it. DNR has done some commenting on it. DEC has commented on it. What's funny, and I'm going to predict the pushback. There's not a lot of pushback from up north, and a lot of it's on North Slope. ASRC would be involved. There's not a lot of pushback up there. Where the pushback's going to come from are your national environmentalists. I guarantee you. I think that's probably what's going to happen. It's like I said, there's a lot of permitting still needs to happen. You get pipeline access. There's all kinds of stuff. And the other issue is the turbines that they're going to use. They're what I call backordered, the old term from my business, because of all the activity of data centers. I think they're most of these big turbines for these data centers are, 7 years out or something. And these guys want to start producing. They were looking at 2028. So there's a lot of challenges, no doubt, but it's something we should look at. I really think so. There's the gal that Sparrow Mahoney is the name of the gal who's the founder and chief executive, grew up in Alaska. Yeah, it was Wasilla High School where she went. And so a little bit of Alaskan history there, which is always kind of nice. I don't know anything about this gal. Might be nice to have her on the show someday and let her talk about it. So they got an application in. There's questions and challenges like the gas-powered turbines that they're going to need to fuel this project. They want to start in 2028. And it's where they'll get the gas supply. I'm sure, you know, they're pretty certain they could, Alaska's North Slope oil fields are so big that, but historically they've used those, used that gas, exclusively, for themselves. They'd probably be willing to sell it, I think, to companies like Stack. It's just a lot of details out there. They haven't got a firm deal for a gas supply, so that's important. But you can see those challenges in the big gas line that we're talking about. There's been challenges there, and we're not done with that. You know, at least we weren't when I put my boat in at the Delta Bridge this weekend. Still, I think, talking about it. We're going to talk it to death. You can look into that, Stack Energy. Anyway, that's one subject that interests me a little bit. We'll talk a little bit other stuff after the break, so come on back. Compo's Outdoor Show featuring yours truly, Craig Compo. We'll talk to you in a minute.
The Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio will return right after this. Attention business owners, event coordinators, and sports leagues. 97.5 KFAR Radio has the perfect tool to help you get the word out. It's our weekly 50-50 Friday offer from Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station, and KFAR. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on our website, KFARradio.com, we feature a different half-price offer from a local business where we promote your business on 8 of the top radio stations in Fairbanks for an entire week, every hour, every day. Plus, 100 ads that run the following week. It's 50-50 Friday. And when we don't have a current offer, log on to KFARradio.com anyway to see what deals may still be available from previous weeks. When it comes to marketing your business, nothing works like local radio. And nothing on local radio works better than 50-50 Friday. From 97.5 FM KFAR Radio and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station.
This is Ann with the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, thanking you for your support of your local Interior Alaska Food Bank. Because of you, we have had 4 decades of collecting local surplus food to give to those in need. The volunteer hours that you have given, the food that you've donated, and the cash that you have shared has helped tens of thousands of your local neighbors who woke up hungry to go to bed with full bellies. You make a difference in this community, one meal at a time. Thank you for your support of the Fairbanks Community Food Bank.
Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to the Compo's Outdoor Show on KFAR Radio.
All right, welcome back, Fairbanks. We are talking, well, we talked a little bit about the North Slope potential data farm project up there with local gals startup. So we'll see if that goes anywhere. I also want to talk about a couple other things. There's a lot of you people that follow that live in Fairbanks all winter long. Dark Winter Nights, which is an event they hold twice a year at the Herring Auditorium. They're going for maybe 3 times a year. I'm going to be interviewing, or I interviewed, it was on last Wednesday, Chris from Dark Winter Nights. And Dark Winter Nights is where you people get selected. You submit a story, a 10 or 15 minute story, you know, over your phone. You send it in. It has to be in Alaska. It has to be Alaskan. It has to be, it has to have taken place in Alaska. It has to be true. I forget what the other thing is. It has to be entertaining, obviously, either funny, scary, whatever. And people tell these stories about what happened to them or them and their friends. Or I did one. Where I got the worst case of human food poisoning. I've talked about that on the air. On a toke moose hunting trip years ago, back in 06, that caused all kinds of other medical issues with me. And anyway, so what they're doing, we started our Laugh You Long Time stand-up comedy thing out at Ivory Jack's every couple of months. Well, what they're going to be doing here coming up on the 4th of June, which is coming up here real quick, is Dark Winter Nights Shakedown. So you can, if you've got a good story, something that happened to you, or it's got to be something that's traditionally Alaskan, it can be a bear hunting story, it can be a story with your car, it can be a story picking berries, it can be anything that you thought was really unusual and or funny and something that would that people would be interested in learning. There's so many of them. You can go to the Dark Winter Nights website, and it'll show you how to where to send your little story. But in the meantime, you can go to Ivory Jack's at 7 p.m. on June 4th. I think that's a Thursday. I'm not looking at my calendar. But yeah, it's June 4th, 7 to 9. If you got a 5 or 10 minute story, it can be an abbreviated version. But just get up on the stage, tell your story. The vetting crew from and a bunch of crowd will be there. Should be a lot of fun. Listen to some stories. They may be voting on them, but they're going to select some, I believe, for the big events, which they put 1,200 people in the Herring Auditorium, I think it is, close to 1,200 people. They've sold out last few years in a row. Some of them are really good. Some of them not so much. But they're trying to vet them so that they get to kind of do a market analysis of the stories, and so they'll know that they'll be successful. A couple of really, really funny ones that I remember, amazing. One of them was these two guys, Alaskans, two buddies. They bought a little Piper aircraft for $5,000. They lived out on Chino Hot Springs Road somewhere on a, they had an old gravel, an old gravel runway. They were nearby. And they bought this plane without telling their wives. And they would go out and drink beer and just taxi up and down, taxi up and down the runway, and just up to do on a Saturday. They said, "Yeah, I'm gonna run over to Brad's house and help him with a project." And then they'd go out and drink beer and taxi up. I may be exaggerating a little bit, but they would play with this airplane. Well, one day they said, "Hey, let's get this thing off the ground. Let's just get up over." So they'd, you know, they'd hover over, they'd get up and they'd just taxi up and they'd lift off 10 feet and they'd set it back down. And they did that for a while. Pretty soon they convinced themselves, you know, we could probably get this thing up in the air. So they took off. And what happened after that is amazing. They got it in the air. And as they're taking off, they barely got above tree line. One guy, and they look out, and there's one of the guy's wives working in the garden watching this little Piper go. I had no idea that her husband and his best friend are out there flying around risking their lives. They couldn't figure out how to turn the plane around. They couldn't. So the guy gets the owner's manual out from under the seat, and he's reading to the guy at the stick. And they finally figure out how to turn it. Took him, a couple miles to get it turned around. They got back, made a couple approaches, set it down rough, but they got it down. And anyway, they just immediately sold the plane, never told the wives about it. Those are the kind of stories that appear on Dark Winter Nights. There was a couple other really good ones. I remember this one about a gal. It was 40 below zero, and she had a little, I don't know what it was, a Subaru or something with a hatch, and she needed to get water for her house to dump water. And she had one of these water tanks that would just, small one, that would just barely fit in the, she bought it. It was just barely fit in the back of the Suburban, squeezed it in there, went to the water, you know, the water well or whatever, and put the money in and filled this, I don't know, 150, 250 gallons tank of water. And, of course, the back of the car is squatting. And as she's driving to her house, she realizes at 40 below, she didn't put the plug in the front of the tank. And so all this water is pouring into her car at 40 below. And she has no, it's like, I think it's like, you know, close to midnight. She has nowhere to go. She has nowhere to get the car inside. She's calling friends. It finally gets a hold of somebody where they could bring the car in the garage and let it drain into the floor drain. And these kind of situations you find yourself in Alaska, things that can happen that are just happen all of a sudden, unexpected. Like I said, I did one on my hunting trip where I got horrible food poisoning in the middle of the boreal forest, and everything that went on. That was a pretty graphic one. I had a lot of people come up next to me and said, "You know, I enjoyed the story, but I can never look at you the same anymore," without thinking of that. Yeah. And then there was one with my buddy Pete Buist. Years ago, he decided to get a vasectomy. And he told the story. He had a urologist here in town, Dr. Taylor, I think was the only urologist at the time, who was going to perform the procedure. And Pete's good friend was Joe Want, who was a longtime trapping buddy of his, sheep expert. And I'm going to butcher the story, but basically this is back when you could never get away with this today. This is many, many years ago, probably 30 some years ago. Pete went in for the vasectomy, and Joe Want, his buddy, convinced Dr. Taylor, the urologist who did the vasectomy, as Pete was coming out of his, sleep-induced coma that they put you in, they let Pete into the room, Joe, with a white coat and a moose knife with blood and hair on it as Pete woke up from his vasectomy. as if Dr. Taylor had done the vasectomy himself with an old bloody moose knife. But anyway, those are the kind of stories that get told on Dark Winter Nights. So really a lot of fun, interesting stuff. Again, they do this at the Herring Auditorium. You got to get your tickets early because they sell out. And we're hoping that we get some really good ones that are initiated from people just showing up. If you know a story, even if you're not the one, if somebody has told you a story and it's an Alaskan story, it could be, you know, back in, what is it, 93, when the snow came so early and bent all the trees and people got stuck at hunting camp. And I heard so many good ones on the showroom that year, just crazy things that happened, people that got stranded out in the, because of Mother Nature. It can be a natural event. It can be anything. But it's really, it's entertaining to listen to, especially if you're from here and you can relate. So anyway, Ivory Jacks, the 4th of June, 7 o'clock, 7 to 9, people are just going to get up and tell 10 or 15 minute stories. They're going to judge them either by applause or by, you know, you have a little card you can, I don't know how they're going to do that yet, but try and make it up there. It should be a full house, but it's going to be fun to listen to. If nothing else, you're going to get a bunch of Alaskans fessing up some stuff that happened to them. Some of it's kind of embarrassing. Mine was a little bit embarrassing, but it was just more disturbing. Some are just funny. Some are scary. There's just all kinds of crazy things that happen here. And they have a website and a podcast. And like my story got put on the air on KUAC TV. They put it on television and very professional. They got good lighting and sound systems out at the Herring Auditorium. So it's pretty interesting to listen to. But like I said, if you've got a friend or a relative or just you've heard a story and you want somebody to get up and share it, there's no money in it. Obviously, it's just all for local entertainment, but it's a lot of fun. And I would encourage people to try and get out there or tell their buddy to get out there. And just, you could probably, you probably have to sign up. I imagine if they're 10, let's say they're 10-minute stories, because I think they go as long as 15 at the event, but they want to keep them to 5 or 10 for the shakedown, the Dark Winter Night shakedown. So if they're 5 or 10 minutes, and they can probably do, I don't know, 8 or 10 of them, so they're probably going to fill up fast. So you want to get out there. If you've got a story, you can let them know. You could contact through the website. You can contact them, and you can also give them you can record your story on your phone and then forward it to them. All you need is all these phones have recording apps. But anyway, that's going to be fun. They do that 2 times a year. They're trying to get it up to 3. But they're filling the place now. So, and it's relatively inexpensive, I think. And they have food there that they sell. So if you haven't been, you should go, but don't wait till the last minute. Don't wait till the last day. I guarantee you they'll turn you away. They just pack the place. We'll talk more about that after they have it, and we'll talk about some of the teas about some of the stories that are going to come on. Go from there. Other than that, I think next week we're going to talk a little bit about how to read a river if you're into boating or floating or anything, and you just want to learn more about how to navigate what the different water surface levels and colors mean. I've got a lot of years on the river. There's a lot of little tricks to keep your boat from being high centered. It can happen to anybody. The further you go, the more chances you're going to take. Sometimes you're looking for a moose through the woods and you look up and too late to miss a sandbar that was just under the water. Something happens, and easier ways to help get the boat off the water and how to, or off the sandbar, and how to, tricks and things to carry with you when the bad things do happen. So anyway, this is Craig Compo with The Outdoor Show. It's been fun. We will talk to you next week. Stay safe out there.
You have been listening to The Outdoor Show with Craig Compo on KFAR Radio, streaming live at kfarradio.com. To listen back to this program or any past episodes, simply click on The Outdoor Show in the Archives tab on the website.